Hello, this is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Robert Lindsay. Robert, it's great having you back on.
Hi. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So we'll be discussing this shooting in Oregon and a number of other issues you've been writing about. I mean, these shootings have been, they've been quite common in this country. And this they seem to be only getting worse. They seem to be getting more common.
Yes. Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Mass shootings in general are becoming more common, especially in the last 9 years. They were almost unheard of 30 years ago.
The first major school shooting was Columbine in 1999. Yeah, but they seem to be really, like, accelerating the last 5 years.
School shootings or just mass shootings?
Well, both. Workplace shootings. The term going postal, I mean, is in reference to postal workers.
Right.
Workplace shootings seem to be more... There were some workplace shootings in the late 80s, but school shootings have been getting a lot more common.
Right. Right.
You wrote a post about this shooter. Your title of this post is "Another Incel Goes ER, Shoots Up College, 10 Dead, 7 Wounded."
Yeah.
You wrote this right when it happened.
Right.
And you predicted that these type of shootings would become more common after Elliot Rodger and George Sodini.
I said that you haven't seen the end of this even after Savini. And then there was Elliot Rodger, and I said, you haven't seen the end of this yet with him. And I don't think we've seen the end of it with this guy either.
Yeah, with politicians, politicians are always saying that we can fix these problems and that if we do this and this, but the reality is that this doesn't seem to be going away. It only seems to be getting worse. And people are talking about they're reacting different ways to this. What do you know so far about the shooter himself? His name is Chris Harper Mercer.
Right, right. Well, it just looks like he's another one of these guys. He's just friendless. A guy who played video games all day. Had no friends. Lived with his mom. Didn't talk. Never had a girlfriend. Never been kissed. I don't know. I guess he just snapped or something. He was hanging on that Robot 9000 site there.
Oh, the 4chan?
Yeah, I just found out about that Robot 9000 site. I think Slut8 linked to it, because I'm on Slut8 a lot. I read Slut8 all the time. And
he posted on Slut8, but I know... I don't think he did post on Slut8, so there's no evidence of that so far, but he posted on a section of 4chan, which I think is geared towards, like, social anxiety... incel and the whole sort of like basement dweller lifestyle.
That's called Robot 9000. That's what that 4chan.
There was a comment someone made, put out a thread on there. They said not to go to school in the Pacific Northwest on the next day, and there were a lot of commentators on there like giving him advice.
Yeah. I saw that.
Were you familiar with this Robot 9000 site or Arcane 9?
No, but it looks like Slut Hate and PUA Hate and all those other incel type boards, you know. There's another one called Look People, too. I'm hanging out on that one now, too. I don't know why I'm hanging out on the damn incel boards. I mean, I'm not an incel myself. I'm kind of the opposite, but I think it's pretty interesting. I've been incel, of course, I mean, for weeks or months or even in one time, years, for 3 years, up to 3 years. So, I mean, I kind of know what they're where they're coming from because, I mean, I've had insult periods myself. I mean, we pretty much all do, really. They have a lot of good advice about how to get women. That's and female psychology and how to and dating and relationships and, you know, how to pick up chicks and how to flirt and, you know, all that kind of stuff. How to run a relationship with a woman, because that's something. It's not exactly intuitive, you know. It's basically a great big game, you know, and you got to figure it out. You got to figure out how to play the game. If you don't play the game right, you might not have. You're not going to have that much fun. You're just going to have a lot of heartache, you know. It basically has to be gained. All relationships with women must be gained. You've got to use.
I know you've been writing. You've been writing a lot about that on your site and giving advice.
Yeah, well, you know, I've learned a lot of things about women over the years, and I can give pretty good advice because I've learned my own stuff, you know. I mean, you learn throughout life if you have any sense, if you have any brains, you know. A lot of the stuff
and you went-
about how to get a woman and how to deal with women, how to be around women, and how to game flirtation with women and dating women and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's just not something that's going to come naturally because women act really, really, really weird, especially when it comes to sex and relationships and stuff like that. They're just all up the R. And if you don't understand that, they're just going to seem like insane, you know, and you're going to screw up. Basically, just a great big game. Women are chess. Dealing with women is like a chess. You got to play chess all the time. That's the way I see it. You can't just be yourself, really. But the worst advice ever given to any man was be yourself. That's probably the last thing a lot of guys should do.
Telling everyone to be themselves. I mean, some, regardless of how screwed up people are in their lives, how many problems they have. I mean,
yeah.
That's not going to work for everyone. It's not going to work for most people.
No, I don't even act like myself, really. I mean, the persona I put out there in the world, especially when I'm trying to get women and stuff, is, I don't know, it's not exactly me. I mean, maybe it's me, but it's kind of a persona, you know? It's just kind of this, I'm acting, you know? It's like I'm acting in the role.
You create a character.
Yeah, and that's what game is. You know, you just run all different kinds of games. And, you know, if you run one kind of game, you kind of create this one character. You run another kind of game, and now you create another character, and you just move here and there through all these active protocols and stuff. And I don't even know if you're ever really yourself anymore. I don't even know when the last time I was myself. I don't even know what it means to be myself. Because I play so many roles, I'm just always shifting. You know, always doing acting roles, you know. I mean, I basically put on a show, you know, when I'm out there in public. I'm putting on a show. You know, it's all basically affected and calculated and all that.
You personally have, like anxiety disorder and or social anxiety disorder?
I don't think I have social. No, but a couple of women met me at a coffee shop, and they sort of tried to pick up on me a while back, and they said that they thought I had social anxiety. So maybe I appear that way, but I don't have social anxiety.
Do a lot of the commentators on the sites like Slut Hate and the R9K site have it?
Do they have social anxiety?
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about it all that much. They just talk about being an Asperger's and having Asperger's and stuff like that.
Did the shooter, was he diagnosed with Asperger's, or they?
I don't know. I think this Asperger's thing is just completely overblown. I mean, if there were really as many Aspies as there were, you know, I mean, 10 to 20% of that population would be Aspies or autistic or whatever. But really, the highest number they've ever come up with is like 1.3% of the population is Asperger's. So 1% of guys out there are autistic. Not 10%, not 20%. But it's just autism and Asperger's, mild autism. All that is just the male principle taken to the extreme. You know, and that's all it is. So you're going to see a lot of guys who are kind of like that. It's just, it's not like there's normal man and then there's autism and Asperger's. It's just the continuum. It's just, you keep taking that male principle further and further and further out, and eventually you just start getting autistic and Asperger's. Take it another direction, and eventually you start getting sociopaths. But the difference between a normal man and a sociopath is not great, is not large, you know? Because a sociopath is just, he's just taking the male principle and just running wild with it and taking it to an extreme once again. And narcissism, probably the same thing, you know, it's male principle.
Oh, in your latest post, actually, it says Oregon school shooter confirmed as having Asperger's. So you mentioned Adam Lanza was also on the autistic spectrum. So was Cho Sung Lee.
Cho was. I don't know that he was diagnosed.
Or Elliot Roger.
Yeah, people keep saying Roger was, but there's no evidence that he was. I just think he was a narcissist. And Cho definitely was, in my opinion, absolutely. The Columbine guys were not. One was a psychopath, the other one was depressed. I don't know what was wrong with Cervini, if anything. I mean, there's a massive overdiagnosis of this Aspie nonsense, of this Asperger's. If there was as much Asperger's as people on the net, and if there is, 20% of the population would be Aspies. You know what the rate of Asperger's is? It's 1.3%. 1% of the population are Aspies. So maybe 5% of the people being accused of being Aspies on the net are really Aspies. But Asperger's, all it is this sort of male. All it is introversion, really. Asperger's, when you start taking introversion further, introversion and sort of neuroticism, especially introversion, further and further and further and further out toward the very ends of introversion, start getting into autism spectrum and Asperger's. That's all it is. That's all it is. And that's why people keep saying they're Aspies everywhere. Those are not Aspies. Those are just introverts. But you see, there's some similarities, because if Asperger's is simply introversion gone wild, you know, introverts and Aspies are going to share quite a few behaviors. It's just the introverts won't have them to nearly such a degree.
What do you see as, like, the societal and cultural trends that are leading to the increase in these shootings?
Which kind of shootings?
The mass shootings, like this one.
I don't know. No. It's not a good thing. A lot of people are saying we need gun control. Someone said, what's the 247th mass shooting this year or something like that? Is that actually true? I mean, that's just incredible, you know? I don't know, but it doesn't sound like a very healthy society where people are going postal every other day, you know? You tell me.
This comment by there's a comment by Beria guy, which is pretty interesting. He points out, he says that the country's, he says the rabid individualism and Protestant work ethic ethos plays a role. So basically, when you're taught that you're completely on your own and that failure always makes you a pathetic, worthless loser, then that's bound to rankle people, especially men, since expectations of them are much higher.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But hasn't our society always been that way?
To a degree. I think more so now. And
oh, really? Okay.
I mean, okay, I'm
the whole sense.
It's always been that strain, but
yeah.
I think people are more disconnected. I think there's a lot of different factors going on.
People
are more atomized. The key factor in these individuals. Well, Bay Area guy, what he says is that there have been plenty of men throughout history who were not getting laid, but
they
still had a community. I
think number
one factor we're seeing increase in shooting is because of an atomized society where you're seeing more people disconnected and they're not having healthy connections with other people.
Yeah, well, you see, that's what the right-wingers want. That's what the capitalists want. The people who are behind this whole system, they want us to be as atomized as possible. They're pushing that. They're pushing total atomization where everybody is just simply an autonomous individual. And as Margaret Thatcher said, there is no society. They want to get rid of the idea of society because they don't like any kind of collective action. They just want us all to be into a Hobbesian, a war of all against them. That's the way they want it. That's the way they like it. So for Darwinism, that's what America's all about. These are the people who run our country. They're scum of the earth. They've always have been. They always will be.
Yeah. They basically, because the reality is most people are basically losers.
Of course.
People traditionally base their identity as being part of a group, whether it's an ethnic group or a tribe or religion. But if everyone has to base their identity on their own merit, then most people basically are losers and they're going to feel pretty shitty.
No kidding. I mean, America is a really crazy society. America is probably the only place on earth where, try this as an experiment. Go around America, wherever you are in America, go around and start asking Americans if everybody can be rich. So many Americans will tell you that everybody can be rich. Americans actually believe. They actually believe that everybody can be rich. And they actually believe that everybody can be successful if only you try. And anybody who has not been successful, it's because they're not trying. But the truth is, life, especially in a capitalist system, is like a foot race. Okay? It's like a foot race with 1,000 people in it. Okay? 100 guys are going to come in 1 through 100. Those are the winners, right? 10%. 100 guys are going to come in 900 through 1,000. Those are the losers. That's the bottom 10%. Society is always going to be this way. There's always going to be people who come in first and people who come in last. That's how it works. Okay? Everybody can't win, man. Everybody can't win. In order for there to be winners, there has to be losers. Ever thought about that? There's no losers, there's no winners. Winners only exist because they're losers.
Well, I mean, it's always been that way in human nature from the most primitive tribes, but I think American society, the culture exacerbates it.
Sure, of course. I mean, and everybody can't be rich. If everybody is rich, then $1 million and $1.79 would get you a Slurpee at a 7-Eleven. I mean, everything is relative. Rich, the definition of rich means you got a heck of a lot more money than everybody else. Okay, so how can everybody be rich? How can everybody have more than everybody else? They can't. See? Everybody can't win. It's like having the foot race and demanding that everybody come in first place or something. Say that everybody that doesn't come in first place is a loser piece of crap. This idiotic, insane mindset is very deep within American society, and even liberal Democrats believe this insanity. This is a part
definitely
of our culture. It's an inherent part of our culture. You'd be surprised how many people believe that. I think even left. Winners and losers,
Why do you think, out of all places, a college is the most common location in high school for these shootings? Obviously, workplace environments can be a brutal environment, but I think there's something about the high school and college experience that there's just something about it that I think drive some people insane. What do you think is unique about high school and college? I mean, that's very much the beginning. First of all, high school is very much the beginning of, like, social hierarchies.
Right,
and
yeah, well,
sexualization plays a major role.
Right. Well, that's where you have to build a lot of your essential building blocks of your personality there.
And the thing is, as an adult, you have your money,
yeah,
and you have your assets. In high school, everything is about, like, building up social status based on your social skills. And the other thing about it is, girls in college are at their peak, so there's definitely a lot of sexual pressure. As people age and their looks decline, there's less pressure on that issue.
Well, in high school also, people are getting status just by being successful, you know, by being surfers, by being great surfers, by being great musicians, by being great football players, you know. I mean, they gain status by being good at something, by getting a bunch of women, selling a lot of dope. You got to do something to make yourself sort of famous. You know? It's not just social skills. It's not just all about the other stuff. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. But
right.
The point I'm making is that's before people become adults. They can build up their skills and establish their careers.
Yeah, well, if you don't have a good experience in junior high and high school, if your junior high and high school experience is kind of like a nightmare, a lot of people like that, they just don't end up doing very well in life, in early life anyway. I mean, I work as a counselor with I counsel people, you know, clients with mental health stuff. And what I find over and over is that people age, you know, 20 to 40 in that age group, they're still completely damaged from what happened to them in junior high and high school. And they're still carrying around. They're still damaged to this very day. They're 40 years old, and they're still damaged from junior high. I mean, this is some long-lasting stuff. It's a very important period of your life. You don't underestimate it.
Yeah, psychologically, your brain goes through a lot of development that period. Your hormones are at their peak, but also you go through a lot of psychological development. Some people just never get over that. They develop permanent psychological scars.
Probably, and also you're developing your personality. I mean, we don't diagnose personality disorders before age 18 because we don't think the personality is developed until age 18 at least.
With your clients, do you focus a lot on clients who are depressed and suicidal?
No, I don't deal with that. I just mostly deal with people who have one condition, one anxiety disorder, and that's just what I focus on. That's almost all my work. But I have had people who are depressed. I've had clients who were attempting suicide. I'd go to talk to them. I would have a new session, and the guy would show up. And he says, "Oh, no, I just tried to kill myself." Yeah. I'm like, God. Jesus Christ. You actually did this. What did you do? Oh, I tried to hang myself. You know, look, man, you got to go to the hospital, okay? And then I got to try to get him into the hospital. And then I had one client. I finally lost a client. I lost one permanently recently. Suicide. He committed suicide about 3 weeks after I talked to him the last time. I hope I didn't have anything to do with it, but it's pretty much of a blow, you know. It's pretty hard to take. I can't really treat depression. That's one of the things I just treat at all. You know, it seems like it's almost untreatable. You know? I mean, it's not untreatable, but it's just so hard to treat. It's like they don't want to get better.
In most cases, is it like brain chemistry, or are they depressed about a very specific thing, their situation in life?
I don't think it's all just brain chemistry and all that. Of course, it's about situations in life. I mean, of course it is. And it might also be about another disorder. I mean, people have really bad anxiety disorder, and it's depressing. You know, anxiety disorders can be very depressing because they really screw up your life. And that's depressing right there. So people get depressed about, basically people get depressed. I've known women, I mean, most of the women I've been involved with the last few years were suicidal. They usually were suicidal about really bad things that were happening in their lives. It's not all just about all of a sudden your brain chemicals go wrong for no reason. I mean, come on, man.
I read somewhere that I think the United States actually has one of the highest rates of depression in the world. I think it's like number one or number two, actually.
Probably just because we're diagnosing it, that's all. I mean, I remember a psychiatrist went around and did a survey in rural Afghanistan recently, and he found that 100% of the population was depressed. Everybody talked to him.
They just don't diagnose it there.
Well, it's just a pre-modern country, the third world country. They're not going.
The thing is, in those countries, they accept that life is shitty. In America, people are told that life is fantastic. Kids
yeah,
are taught growing up, they're going to grow up to be rich. Life is wonderful. People are fed a lot of lies, and in a lot of cases, they can't handle it.
Yeah, not only that, but if your life isn't totally wonderful, it's because you're blowing it. You're blowing it. You're screwing up. How come your life isn't swarming with women? You know, how come you're not meeting any women? You're a loser.
So,
I mean,
you have this post, first of all, I mean, you write about this concept. There's this meme going around 4chan called Beta Uprising.
Oh, Beta Uprising, yeah.
Yeah.
That was started on Robot 9000, Beta Uprising, right. Yeah. Right, exactly. I think this guy who made his post predicting that he was going to go and shoot some of the other people after him said Beta Uprising. So they've been calling for this for a long time now.
Since Soudini happened?
Yes. Yes.
So you have this quote by the French author Michel Houellebecq, and I'm actually reading one of his books, Platform, right now. I recommend reading his work. Have you read his work?
No, not at all, no. I don't read enough novels anymore. I need to read more novels.
Oh, you just have this quote by him, but what he says is just like unrestrained economic liberty, and for similar reasons, sexual liberality produces a phenomenon of absolute pauperization. Some men make love every day, others five or six times in their life, or never. Some make love with dozens of women, others with none. It's what's known as the law of the market. In an economic system where unfair dismissal is prohibited, every person more or less manages to find their place. In a sexual system where adultery is prohibited, every person more or less manages to find their bed mate.
Exactly.
In a totally free economic system, certain people accumulate considerable fortunes, others stagnate in unemployment and misery. In a totally free sexual system, have a very exciting erotic life, others are reduced to masturbation and solitude. Michel Houellebecq.
Right. Right.
So he basically makes a parallel to the economic system.
Right, right. It's a totally free market, sexual marketplace out there. Exactly. And that's not really a good thing because women practice hypergamy. I mean, back in our hunter-gatherer past, 60% of men never bred. Almost all females bred. If they made it to adulthood, they bred. But only 40% of the guys bred. So all the females made it with only 40% of the guys. And 60% of the guys got completely locked out. Nothing. No sex, I guess. Zero. So there were harems going on even back in the
days. chart of that says before the sexual revolution and after the sexual revolution.
Yeah.
Is this chart from the 4chan?
I guess, but you know, they did a study on OkCupid, and they found that 80% of the women on OkCupid were pursuing 20% of the men. Probably the top 20%. So, you know, they're all going for the best guys, which is basically the way it works. You know, the top 15-20%, the alphas, the Chads. Chads. What they call them.
So what's the difference? You know
what that, stands for? You know what that stands for? Chads?
What?
Yeah. It's Chad Thundercock. He's like he's the ultimate alpha. It's just a name for like a male model alpha or something. Chad Thundercock.
What's the difference between, what about normies? A normie is just like is that a chat or just a regular person?
No, that I believe a normie is just someone who's well adjusted and well liked and that sort of thing. You know, just doing well in life and it's not, you know, feeling like a total loser, you know. Accepted by other people.
I think the whole basement dweller phenomenon, or in Japan it's called a hikikomori. I think a lot of people, because of our economy, a lot of young men can't find employment, so they just they live with their parents, and a lot of them just kind of drop out and play video games and jerk off to porn.
Yeah, I don't think people should live with their parents for really long. I mean, I kept moving back to my parents' house. I lived with my parents for way too long. I'm certainly glad that I don't live there anymore. But I don't think it's really healthy for a lot of adults if they're not in college, you know, or why are you living at your parents' house, you know? I mean, you need to be independent, you know. It's just sort of it's just going to prolong their childhood, prolong their adolescence. You got to get out there in the world. I mean, it's a lot tougher out there. I mean, sink or swim. When you're at your parents' house, you pretty much got a ship that's always going to float, you know. But when you get out there in the real world, it's totally sink or swim, and either if you don't make rent, man, you're homeless. You got to get the money. Got to do it. I'll survive. Pretty frightening.
Do you think like economic changes play a major role in increasing these shootings?
I don't know, but I know the postal thing was all because of Reagan. Because when Reagan
postal. That's the theory of Mark Ames's book Going Postal. Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it. I've heard of it. Is he out of like 9 banded books and all that stuff?
No, he's probably more mainstream than them. He writes for a newspaper called The Exile. He's actually more kind of a leftist.
Oh, okay, all right, okay, yeah. Oh, he used to write for The Exile, the Russian online magazine.
Yeah, he writes for that.
Wasn't a guy called the War Nerd on there too?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's that? Did he have a name? Or is he just called War Nerd?
I don't know what his name is.
Darn good writer. I gotta say, man. I'd actually like to shout out to Hartiste. To Chateau Hartiste or whatever. What are they calling
him?
What's that guy's name? What
are
they calling?
They call him Royce.
Yeah, Royce. Royce is
an
excellent writer. He's a very, very, very good writer. He's one of the best writers in the whole manosphere. He's a literary writer. I mean, his writing is just like, wow. I look at that and I go, oh my God. I also like Hunter Wallace of Occidental Descent. He's a white nationalist, but I like his writing. his writing's got a real style there, you know. Bruce is okay, but he's not really a master. You know, he's not like a super writer. I like Ann Sturzinger.
No, he's not.
Too. I like Ann Sturzinger.
Have you read read Ann Sturzinger's books or just her articles?
Just her articles. I haven't read her books yet. Who's the guy who used to run In Malafide?
Oh, that's Matt Forney.
Matt Forney? Yeah, he's a rogue writer too. I mean, he can write, man. You know, I think that can really write.
Did he used to link to you on his old blog?
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. Right. He's got too much off into right-wing land. And, you know, Republican Party and conservative and the enemy of the left and all this BS. I'm more alternative left. Yeah. I'm not a conservative. I'm alternative left. We're not conservatives, people. Get it? Get it? We're not conservatives. We're not right-wingers. We're not fascists. Right-wingers go away. Conservatives go away. You know, people keep coming in my site and trying to sell me on conservatism. And, you know, the basic conservative ideology, I object to conservatism at its basic core ideology. I don't like it. I don't agree. It sucks. It sucks at its basic core. Its basic core principles suck. They're no good. They're bad.
You have a post, a comment, someone writes in that there's ever fantasized about killing someone.
Yeah.
And then someone writes, who is more disturbed, De Niro on Taxi Driver or Robert Lindsay?
Yeah, well, I've never killed an innocent person or anything like that. I never even tried to kill an innocent person, but, you know, I've certainly had homicide fantasies. I don't have them so much now as I'm older. But as a young man, I was practically homicidal all the time as a young man, pretty much. I was a punk rocker and stuff. I actually enjoyed being homicidal. It was fun. But, I mean, I never killed any innocent person or tried to.
Were they just fantasies, or did you ever seriously contemplated at some point in your life?
No, I never seriously contemplated or gathered guns or made a plan or anything like that. It's just you know, this famous psychiatrist who said a murder fantasy a day keeps the psychiatrist away. He said that a long time ago, back in 1940s.
Really?
So he actually advocated that people should fantasize about murder once in a while. Or killing your enemies, I guess. You know. It was mostly about killing my enemies, you know. Not about killing, like, ordinary people, you know. Well, I did go through a phase like that. I still want to kill
You know what is actually kind of bizarre about these school shootings is you don't hear about as many people killing their enemies. A lot of these shooters just target random people.
Yeah, that's no good. I mean, if I was gonna do something like that, I'd kill my enemies, you know.
Well, see, these guys, they've gotten to the point where everybody in the whole world is called an enemy, okay? They've gotten to the point where they hate the world, okay? They hate the whole world. They hate everybody. They hate you. They hate me. They hate him. They hate her. They hate them all. We all suck. We're all no good. And they want to mow us all down. Because we did them wrong. We did them wrong. We reject them. They're mad. They're getting even. They're getting their revenge. For what we did to them, for the crimes we committed against them, the horrible crimes we committed against them, who were completely uncalled for. This poor innocent guy who's going to take up a gun now, get his revenge. All those people who ruined his life.
It's just a collective. Those people they shoot are symbolism for society.
Yeah, you know, every time this happens, everybody says, well, he's obviously crazy. You know what?
These guys aren't even crazy. There's nothing crazy about shooting up a school. I mean, there's nothing in the DSM called school shooter disorder or something, you know? You don't have to be nuts to go shoot up a school. You got to be bad, you know? I mean, not everything is crazy, you know? People just don't get it. A guy who goes and shoots up a school, that's not a question of whether you're nuts or not. I mean, if he's nuts, why isn't there a DSM? Well, what's his DSM disorder? What's it called? Mass murder disorder or something? I mean, come on. That's not in the DSM yet, you know? I mean, wait a few years and it will be. But this is a moral question, okay? This is a moral question. Someone who shoots up a school is bad. He's a bad person. He's turned bad. He's angry. He's an angry person. He's a bad person. That's all there is to it. We've got to get away from this mental health stuff. They're not crazy. They're just really mad. Really, 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 really mad. They're so mad that they're going to do something very bad. A lot of stuff in life is more of a moral question than a mental question, you know? I mean, we always say, well, you know, is that person sane or are they crazy? Why are you even asking that question? The real question to ask is this person good or bad? How about asking that? And how about instead of saying that guy's nuts, why don't you say, well, you know, he's not nuts, he's just angry.
Yeah. Anger is not in the DSM.
Yeah, he's really, really angry. He's so angry, he hates the whole world. Yeah, I mean, people just can't understand that. What do you mean he hates the whole world? Yeah, he hates the whole world and everybody in it. He's just going to go out and mow people down. I told that to people, and they're just like, no way. I don't believe it. Nobody could possibly think that way, but that's what's going on. But everybody I talk to, every time these things happen, they go, wow, he's crazy, right? I'm like, oh. It's not a symptom of insanity to shoot up in school. It's a crime. You're a criminal, man. You're committed a criminal act, you know? Quit calling people crazy. I'm getting sick and tired of this. Quit calling people crazy. And I work in mental health. Quit calling people crazy. It sucks. Knock it off. Are you a clinician? You're not a clinician. Quit calling people crazy. If you can't diagnose mental illness, how do you know? Shut up. Shut up and leave it to the clinicians. Back in the old days, we didn't used to judge people on that. We didn't used to judge everything on, is this sane or is this like, oh, is this mental illness, you know? Back in the old days, it was a little more like there was good behavior and there's bad behavior. You know? And some people are sad, some people are happy, some people are angry, people are nice, you know? It's not about mental illness, it's more about stuff like that. Basic stuff.
You have this post, I'm a misanthrope, and
yeah,
you say, indeed, yeah, you do hate all of humanity, but it's for reasons you might think. You hate people because they're stupid, dumbasses, brain dead, bone-headed fucktards. That's what it's all
about.
Yeah,
I don't hate people like these school shooters, like they're evil and they've done me wrong or whatever. And that hasn't really been my experience in life. A lot of people have done me wrong, but a lot of people have also done me right. They've been really good to me, and they've given me a lot of good experiences. And you know, I've been a success and a winner in a lot of ways. So, you know, I don't hate people for treating me wrong or something. I just think they're idiots, and they make me mad. Stupid people make me mad. They're so stupid that they're sort of dangerous. Stupid people, they got bad ideas. Stupidity causes people to have bad ideas that hurt other people. And I don't like that. That's why I hate stupidity. It gives you wrong ideas that hurt other people. That makes me mad.
With these shooters we're talking about, a lot of them, they're mostly misanthropes, but they're not able to connect with other people.
Well, you know, I'm not a complete misanthrope. I went on a date with two women
two young, beautiful young women over the weekend, you know. On Saturday, I had them over here at my place, you know. I mean, I still hang out with human beings, you know. I associate with them and have sex and, you know, I hang out and I drink and I party and I don't hate everybody, you know. I have girlfriends that fall in love and women that fall in love with me, but, you know, I don't. I just sort of dislike humanity in sort of vague sort of way, you know, sort of a vague, cloudy sort of way, not like a hate.
Or humanity as a collective entity, or do you go around like seeing people like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
guy,
I'm just sort of a
guy.
Vague feeling that I don't like humanity. It's sort of vague general sense, but it doesn't really apply to individual people. I don't break it down like that. Just I kind of look out at the world.
Do you hate the culture? The culture of society?
I just hate that people are stupid. They bother me because they're stupid. It makes me mad. That's all it is. I don't know if there's a cure for it because people just seem to be permanently stupid or something.
Do you think stupid people should be sterilized?
Hey, I'd like to say nothing. Stupid. When I call people stupid, I'm not talking about IQ. Okay? I'm not talking about IQ. I have a genius IQ, and I'm not saying I hate everybody who has 100 IQ or whatever, because I'm not talking about where they are on the IQ score. I hate people. When I say that I hate people for being stupid, what I mean is they lack wisdom. That bothers me. You don't have to have a high IQ to have wisdom, but most people don't have much wisdom, and that pisses me off. I don't like people who are not wise. They suck, unfortunately.
So your other post is It's Always Darkest Before Dawn, and this is about depression.
Yeah, right. I don't agree with that. That's just a stupid saying. It's always darkest before the dawn. Oh, yeah? Really? So when you're really, really, really down in the dumps, if you've never been this depressed, what that means is things are going to be looking up pretty soon, right? What a bunch of bull. No, it isn't. I mean, that's just a feel-good. That's just something we say to make people, depressed people feel good. And it's a lie. It's a lie. It's not always darkest before the dawn. No, it isn't. As a matter of fact, it's worse. It's worse because there literally is no bottom to how bad things can get. No matter how down you are and no matter how awful the world is, no matter how awful your position is, guess what? It can always get worse. Isn't that horrible? But that's the truth.
And you even asked, you even have a post about suicide, and you asked your commentators if they have ever considered committing suicide.
buy a season ticket to the Angel? I think that's what I asked them. I'm not suicidal myself. It sounds terrible to say it, but I'm probably more homicidal than suicidal. I mean, if I felt suicidal, I would just project it out. I know that's awful, but
that's one of the reasons. if you listen to these shooters, the reason is a lot of people commit suicide, and except for maybe their immediate family. No one really cares. They're forgotten.
Right.
People want to go down in a shooting spree because they want to be remembered. They don't want to just die and be forgotten.
Well, I mean, I instead of being suicidal and wanting to kill myself, I would just project it out and say I want to kill other people. Well, when you're suicidal and you want to kill yourself, kind of like the problem is you, you know? As far as I'm concerned, the problem's not me. The problem's other people. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. It's probably a lie, but it's just the way I like to look at the world. And also, I like myself way too much, probably. My last therapist told me I was narcissistic, but I like being narcissistic, and I think everybody should be narcissistic because it's so much fun. You know, you guys don't realize how much fun this is. But if I kill myself, why should I do that? Why should I kill the greatest person in the whole world? I'm too great to be killed. I shouldn't be killed. You know? I mean, no matter how lousy life gets, I'm still great. See? I still get to hang out with the greatest person in the whole world all day long.
say, no matter how much my life sucks. Isn't that cool?
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the shooter?
Not really. I just think that this whole incel thing, I think I don't have any solutions to the incel phenomenon, but it seems like a lot of guys are just getting left behind in this sexual revolution nowadays. And women are practicing extreme hypergamy with liberation, and they are just kind of mass going for the chads and the alphas, and leaving a lot of guys in the lurch. A lot of guys aren't getting anything, like Kulebeck said. And we have these incel communities popping up, and some of these incels are just snapping because they're not getting any sex. And I think it's something that society ought to be talking about. I don't have any solutions to it, okay? People say, well, what are you going to do? I say, I don't know. You know what? Everything doesn't have a solution. Human beings always think that everything has a solution. And they get really upset when something doesn't have a solution. But a lot of things have no solution. But I think we should be talking about, hey, who are these incels anyway? How come they're not getting laid? What's going on? You know, anyway. You know,
another thing that's interesting is law enforcement. Basically, they confiscated his manifesto, but they're not releasing it to the public.
Yeah, I know. They think if you release the manifesto to the public, then crazy people are going to read it, and it's going to make them go and do a mass shooting too or something. I would have loved to got that manifesto because I would have put it on the net just to give those cops a finger. You know, saying that nobody can read that stuff, you know. I mean, they ought to release it to bloggers, you know, so we can just put it up there. Let's see it, man.
Let's read it. Yeah. Both George Sodini and Elliot Roger had manifestos. And I think
Sodini had a manifesto?
Yeah, he did. They both did.
Yeah, well, Elliot Rogers was able to be read. It was like 130 pages or something. I read it. Well, it said that let's have the conversation. Nobody even knows what an incel is. What's an incel? You know, what's that? Who's Chad? What's the beta uprising? What is this alpha beta omega thing? You know, beta uprising. What's going on, man? You know, I mean, who are these alphas anyway? Are the women going for all the alphas? Who's Chad anyway? Who's Chad Thundertop? What's he doing anyway? You know, I mean, let's have the conversation. Let's talk. I'm not saying we're going to solve the problem, but I think people at least ought to know what's going on here, you know? Let's talk, man. Come on, people. Yeah.
So you have this post, What Is This Man Doing Wrong? And this
right.
is about this guy who wrote into the Roosh Forum, and
right.
he talks about his life story. He claims that he's tried something like 3,000 approaches, and he's failed.
Right.
And most of the most of the commentators on the thread are just calling him like a troll.
Who on the Roosh site?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that just shows how awful they are. And how stupid Roosh is. And what crap his program is. And what a lie game is. Game is a lie. Game only works. Game plus nothing else. Game alone does not work. Does not work. Got to have something else. If you're 5'2" and ugly, game ain't going to help you. Sorry.
Well, this guy doesn't really... Does he talk about how he looks or his status, really?
He never really talked about how he looks. He's Jewish. He said when he was a kid that he was cute, but that's all he said.
He talks about how he traveled a lot. Oh, he tells us and how he's pretty much been like miserable and depressed his whole life. Oh, he says he came from a middle class Jewish family from the suburbs
right.
of Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about his time in high school
mm-hmm.
and how he didn't really fit in with any of the groups in high
mm-hmm.
school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about when he was, I think when he was 18, he took a trip to Israel.
Yeah.
And he What did he? What do you remember? What he said?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they went on an outing or something like that, and they were like staying in tents or something. And then he went up and talked to this girl, and he just stared at her over this table. She started giggling and laughing. And
oh, she had a boyfriend.
Yeah, they went walking for over by some trees or something like that, and it turned out she had a boyfriend. So.
Oh, then he stumbled across some book by David D'Angelo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The big lie is looks don't matter. That's the lie of the game, scammers, of the game fraudsters. Excuse me.
But he doesn't go into detail about how he doesn't really go into detail about how he looks.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about that at all. That's interesting. He should have posted a picture or something, or you know, described himself or something like that.
How do you picture him looking?
I'm the faintest idea, man. I'm the faintest idea. I'm the faintest idea. Anything about this guy. I don't know anything about this guy. It doesn't make sense at all to me. I don't know why he's failing. I'm the faintest idea. And, you know, women have made comments on this, and women offered absolutely no good advice whatsoever, if you will. If you want to learn about game and getting women and all that stuff and relationships and everything, the last person in the world you should ask is a woman. They're going to give you nothing but bad advice.
Did you read the advice that he was given in the thread? Because there... Most of the people on that site were just calling him like a troll. There was some constructive advice, but for the most part, they were just telling him to get out of here.
Yeah, right. What would anybody expect? Sure, of course. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So he talks about it. He traveled all over the world. He went to Israel. He went to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
He went to the Philippines. And
he
said, like, he was miserable, like, the whole time?
Yeah, right.
And he told a story where when he was in Costa Rica, like, he had tourists take pictures of him, and he just, like, he looked so depressed in the pictures, he just, like, deleted them when he got home.
Yeah, it's just one of the saddest stories I've ever read, actually, to tell you the truth. Never read anything so sad. My whole life, just about.
And he said, he's been with prostitutes.
Yeah, I think five times he said sex five times, every time with a prostitute.
He took a road trip across the country, and he went. He did visit Santa Barbara, and he said he walked the streets of Isla Vista, the same place that Elliot Rodgers committed the massacre. But he said while he was there, he remembered sitting in his car watching like all these hot sorority chicks and their boyfriends walking past him, and he was brooding over how much he hated them for their sex lives and pleasure. Not knowing that there was another dude thinking the same thing a few blocks away, videotaping himself. And then he did read that famous manifesto.
Yeah. You know, this is a new phenomenon. People think about all these young single men who can't get laid with God's help, you know. I mean, this is a new thing, you know. I mean, back in my father's day, yeah, if you're a single guy, it was expected that you wouldn't get laid. Okay, you're a single man. How are you going to get laid? You're just going to screw some whore. You're going to screw a whore or a slut. I guess there's maybe a few. Or you're going to buy it. I mean, the whole idea was a single man, well, obviously he's not getting laid. That was just like normal, you know. If you want to get laid, get married, man. I mean, that was the way it was in my dad's generation. You know, you weren't supposed to have premarital sex. You know? There was nothing wrong with not being a single man and not having sex. That was considered to be... Well, of course not having sex. He's single, man. I mean, no wonder guys can have sex. You know, see? But now these guys are supposed to be getting laid all the time, and they're not. I just think this is a new thing that all these men seem to be just getting totally neglected by women. There's something going on here. It's not fake. See, there's all kinds of people saying this whole thing is fake. They say there's no hypergamy going on. There are no mass incels, or all these incels are just idiots. They get it anytime they want. Game is a lie. It doesn't matter. No such thing as alpha, beta, and omega. Any guy can get a woman anytime he wants. And, you know. But
he said that when he read the Elliot Rodger manifesto, he said he felt that his life was basically the same as that manifesto, even though he put in 100,000 times as much work into it that he did.
I don't know the faintest idea what he's doing wrong, because people weren't telling him, you know. Nobody was giving him advice and telling him, oh, dude, this is what you're doing wrong, you know, or something, you know. I mean, I don't even know where to start with something. Obviously, the guy has zero game. That's an example of a guy with absolutely zero game, or maybe even negative game. And people want to know what game is. Have you noticed how hostile women are to the very idea of game? You say the word game, and they just start flipping out, you know. They hate it. They say it's nonsense. Look, this is all game is. Game is whatever styles, moves, personality, structure, whatever behaviors you use to try to attract and get women. That's your game, okay? Now these women say, oh, game is bull. So they're saying that men should not use any styles or modes of behavior to try to get women or try to keep one, right? Because it's all lies, right? It doesn't even work. See, I told you, never ask a woman. You're never going to get any good advice from a woman, ever. I don't know why that is. If you want good advice on getting women, talk to a guy, especially Chad. Slayer. I mean, they know where it's at, man. And have you ever noticed one other thing? Have you noticed that the guys who have a tremendous amount of experience with women don't have a high opinion of them? Have you noticed that guys who have almost no experience with women think they're like sugar and spice and everything nice and all that stuff? Yeah. Well, who do you think is probably true? Who do you think is probably right? The guys who know them very well, or the guys who hardly know them at all? See, girls, women are going to tell you, well, all those guys, they're telling you that women aren't all that, or they're lying. And all these guys who hardly know us at all, well, they're telling the truth. See, that's what a woman is going to say.
And I guess one more thing I'll add before I wrap up the show is it's not just the whole incel thing. It's that people are totally atomized. Some people can't thrive in society if they're good at making connections with people, but people who have like social anxiety and a lot of these problems that or Asperger's or whatever, they're totally screwed in an atomized society. And
we need each other, don't we? We need each other, don't we? We need other people. No man is an island. We actually need other people. You know, we can't just make it on our own, you know. Everybody
and
on your own.
Some people are saying that if you talk about the shooters and their motivation, you're giving them what they want. You're giving them, like, narcissistic supply. And I get that argument. I get that argument because these people do crave fame. But I just disagree, because I think it is very important to understand their motivation. Because it is a societal problem. And I think that these individuals, in a sense, are like a canary in a coal mine. They do symbolize the deeper problems in society.
There's another retarded argument right there. Think about how retarded that is. Think about how stupid that is. How can you give a dead person narcissistic supply? How can you give a dead person fame? He's dead.
Oh, that's true.
He's off in Deadlands listening to all the games. Oh, wow, this
that,
is cool. I'm dead. Everybody's cheering about me now. Huh? Woo,
the guy
yeah.
who did the shooting in Colorado, that guy, James Holmes, he had,
yeah.
like, all of these women are now writing to him, and he's, like, posting. He has, like, all their pictures covering his prison cell.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, yeah. Women are nuts, man. Women are crazy.
But most of the shooters, most of them end up committing suicide.
Well, you know, if the guy lives, then you could say, you know, you're giving a narcissistic supply, you're making him famous. Dude's dead. How are you giving him fame? Oh, you're giving him what he wants. Really? He's dead. He doesn't want anything anymore. Give him narcissistic supply. He's dead. You can't give a dead person narcissistic supply. How are you going to do that? Try it sometime. See if they respond.
Well, you're right, but people just have this urge. People want a legacy. People want to be remembered after they die, even though they're dead. And they're
yeah.
not alive to get the narcissistic supply. They still have this like urge to be immortal. It's a human urge
yeah,
that
well,
people have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, guess what? You can, if you want to be famous, you know how you can get famous? Go do something really, really bad. Yeah. And you will be famous if you die. That's right. That's right. The way it goes, man. It's
because, I mean, it's...
A lot of bad people
it is, the people who get killed in these shootings, I mean, they're... Most of those people don't know their names. They're going to be forgotten.
Right, yeah.
It's the people who do commit... The shooters are the ones who get the fame. The
yeah.
people who get killed get forgotten.
Well, what he did was more important, right? What was more important? Him mowing all those people down or one person dying or whatever? Which was
I mean,
more
the
important
most,
the event?
If you look at, I mean, the most, some of the most famous people are mass murderers, whether they're serial killers
yeah.
or
right, yeah.
or dictators.
You're going to get famous if you go and kill a bunch of people. Be honest. Don't get famous, just go kill a bunch of people, you know. Pretty easy road to fame now. Go for it. That's how you do it.
So, Robert Lindsay, we are out of time. It's been a great show. Thanks for being on.
Sure. You're welcome.
That's all we have for today's show. So take care, and we'll be back to you next time.